Preston and Steve Fun Size.
It's on tonight, and it's right here. It's been one of the heartbeats of Philadelphia in, on television.
I saw the teaser for it pop up, and both my wife and I looked at us, each other and go, oh, we got to watch that.
What am I playing here, Casey?
Well, we have an old Action News promo.
Okay. Want me to play this?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
With our esteemed guest on it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go.
This is Jim Gardner from Action News. I'm returning the senator's call. I'm assuming he wants to talk about
it. Just came in. They found a toxic waste leak.
Okay, how fast can we get a crew there?
That's a good point. I'm going to call someone I know on the inside, and maybe we can get
We need more specifics about the chemicals actually buried
there. All right, guys, dinner is served.
I ordered the chicken Kiev.
Chicken Kiev?
Chicken salad.
But the big story on Action News tonight is a crisis over toxic waste. Good broadcast, guys. See you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Yeah, this is Jim Gardner. We're doing a follow-up on this toxic waste story, and we need confirmation.
That's just a little clip.
That's cool. That's cool.
All right, we have the man himself on the line to tell us more about this anniversary special on tonight. Mr. Jim Gardner is here this morning. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, guys.
So what was the chicken Kiev thing about?
That promo is so old, I'm surprised it still plays.
Wow. When did you start? When was your the year that you began at 6 ABC?
June 1st, 1976.
Wow. 1976, June 1st. Wow. Listen, just seeing some of the footage, and even in the commercial for the special tonight, it's just great to see footage from so long ago, and some people who are still obviously active with 6ABC in the news, and then some people that, you know, have passed, and just some great faces. It means a lot. There's a very familial sense to the special.
Well, I think the word familial is key. The term Action News family is not just an invention of WPVI marketing. You know, it's certainly we have been a team for generations, and there are not only moments where we feel very much like a family, but that is a common strain throughout our organization. And I think it comes through on the air a lot. You mentioned some people who have passed. I have to tell you, the features that we have on this program of Gary and Jim O'Brien, they were emotional for me. And I think they're going to be very emotional for the audience. Those two individuals particularly made a certain kind of connection with our viewers that was unusual, unique, extraordinary, and it really comes through on this program.
You know, so Gary Papa, obviously, who passed from prostate cancer, I actually invoke his name all the time, and obviously we would have preferred that things turned out differently for him, but I say this, I speak to people facing the, I myself had it in 2014, and I say, you know, his legacy is saving so many men who are incited to go on and get the checkups. So, out of something sad became an absolute wonderful good. But one of the things I think was always great was your on-air banter with him, which I think is one of the things. And I know we're going to see some of that tonight.
You know, I have to use a broad brush, but I feel that my tenure here has come in three basic phases. The first one with Jim O'Brien and Don Tolleson, and then Gary and Dave Roberts, and now Deuces Rogers and Cecily Tynan.
Yeah.
And I can't compare them. They're all extraordinary. With Gary and Dave, we knew each other so very well that we didn't have to articulate to each other things that we were thinking. We just knew what was going on in our head.
Yeah.
Oftentimes used to crack me up, which of course I always resented tremendously. but Gary and Dave always knew how to do that. But you know, Gary was going through some very difficult times, as you know, in the latter phases of that relationship. And, it had a tremendous impact on Dave and me, because Gary would come to the set in serious pain, and he knew what was going on, obviously. But when that red light went on, you know, he flipped the switch and he summoned the Gary Papa magic, and he was brilliant, you know, and it was just a constant inspiration for us and for me. And, yeah, it was an experience that I could never see repeated.
Yeah. I have a memory of Gary that's actually not on television. I was actually on vacation with my family down in Ocean City, and this was not too far before his passing. But I just remember watching him on his bike, and he had the biggest smile, was just enjoying life to the absolute fullest. And so I will always remember that Gary Papa for the rest of my life. Now, Jim, I want to ask you a question about your tenure there at 6ABC, because I was born and raised here, so I'm going to turn 45 a little bit later on. So for all intents and purposes, I've never lived a day without Jim Gardner on the broadcast. And it always seems like you have been that guy. And I got to say, I remember the first time I was actually out of like the area and I watched a newscast on another station in another city, and it almost seemed like it was like a movie trying to be Jim Gardner, because you were always that guy. And so refresh my memory. Where did you start at 6ABC? Were you at the 6 o'clock helm?
No, I came to Channel 6 as the anchor of the noon news and as a street reporter. And I was there for a year in that role. I was overjoyed to be able to work in Philadelphia. I came from 2 years in Buffalo. I was a New York City kid growing up. So the idea of being able to come to Philadelphia was wonderful, spectacular. And I expected to stay in that role for an undetermined period of time. Larry Kane was the anchor of the 6 at 11 o'clock news. And, you know, it was a privilege to be able to watch him work. And, you know, it was great. And then 10 months after I started, Larry went to New York to work at WABC in New York. And all of a sudden, Channel 6 has to find an anchor person for their 6 and 11 o'clock news. It never occurred to me, and I mean this with all sincerity, that I would be that person. And they did, you know, one of their national searches. And at some point, Larry Pollack, who was the general manager of WPVI, came to me and said, "So what about you doing the 6 and 11 o'clock news?" And it was just an absurd notion to me. But he thought it might be a good idea. I'm sure other people thought it was a harebrained idea, but, you know, Larry was the guy. So we went ahead and did it. And I think one of the reasons why Larry thought that might be a good way to go is I think he figured that I would stay around here for a long time, that I wouldn't be one of those people who would see it as an opportunity to work here for a couple of years and then go somewhere else.
Right.
Obviously, he was right. And, you know, 43 years later, we're still talking.
God. There are a million questions that we could ask you, but I want to ask you a pointed one right now. How many Phillies baseball games do you think you'll be able to attend this year, and when do you think your first one will be?
Wouldn't it be nice if these guys could get together on a deal and play some baseball?
Sure. Yeah.
Last I heard from Deuces last night was that there was some optimism that a new proposal might actually, you know, bear some fruit. So that would be great if they could play, as long as they can figure out a way to keep people safe.
Jim, you know, obviously this has been a unique year as far as news goes. But then again, maybe it hasn't, because you are acutely aware of what's going on year after year after year. And have you become numb to the surprises? Not necessarily in meaning that you don't feel empathy or the emotion that one might, but in the sense that, okay, here's another big one, you know?
This is different. Mm-hmm. This is not another story.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say that of any story that we have dealt with, and I include 9/11 in that, obviously entirely different, and 9/11 changed our world and changed this country in fundamental ways. But this story is what consumes us every day. It's been going on for months. We know that the audience is perhaps more engaged with everything we have to tell them now than they have ever been before. People are afraid for their own physical well-being. People are afraid for the possibility of losing their livelihoods and losing their jobs. And obviously, tragically, too many people are in that position. In fact, just a minute ago or so before we started this conversation, the Labor Department reported that another 1.5 million people filed first-time unemployment benefits last week, which is a higher number than they anticipated. So that's, you know, very bad news. But every day, every newscast, and most of the newscast devoted to this pandemic until George Floyd and now Rayshard Brooks, which has brought to the fore this inflection point in American history. Will we find ourselves on a crossroads, and what path will this country take in terms of racial injustice, racial inequity? So we've got two huge stories, you know, that are converging on every newscast every day. It's a challenging time for journalists. It is a fascinating time for journalists, and I have not experienced anything like this before.
Okay, I'll tell you this, Jim, and it's I think I've said it to you a couple of times when you've been out of the Camp Out for Hunger and supporting that effort. I think on a basis, you know, obviously people are there's a lot of distrust a lot of times now in the news, and we're hearing some things of you know, the 24-hour news cycle generates a lot of pandemonium, and people are just getting scared to death. And I think where you can still find it being done the right way, I think, is we are getting balance without the fear-mongering is on the local level. And I think when I tune in and I see you at the desk, and you're in that, for me, that rare pantheon of people that can dispense news that is certainly volatile and troubling, but allow us the breaths we need to process it. I mean, you're in that rare category, and you know, is that a weight to bear, or is it an honor to be able to be the person that is a conduit through which we're receiving this?
No, it is not a weight to bear. And yes, I am honored every day to be in the position that I'm in, and have felt that way for 40 some odd years. But, you know, I don't think any of my colleagues bring to work every day this sense of we all feel the responsibility, and yeah. and that is something that we bring to work on a daily basis. But, you know, we come in and we just do our jobs. It is not this enormous mission on a daily basis. We come into work and we go through the steps of doing our job, and hopefully we do it well. We certainly have respect for the work. We have respect for the audience, and we have respect for each other. And you know, let history play itself out, and the way we're perceived, all we can do is do the best job we can to play it down the middle, to try to be fair, absolutely require of ourselves to be accurate and to have empathy for the audience. It's respect for the work. It's empathy for the audience. It's respect for the audience. And we do the best work we can. I don't know that there's much more to it than that.
I don't think there is.
I think that's the heart
of
it right there.
That's everything.
Jim, on a lighter note, one of the more charming things about the history of 6ABC, of Action News, is the old weather board. And and how long it took you guys to eventually come around and then fully embrace to the nth degree technology.
Yeah, you went from George Melies, you know, the old silent film science fiction, to Avatar in one quantum leap.
I'm sure that's got to be featured in the special tonight.
That's exactly right, because there's a lot of Jim O'Brien in the special tonight. And, of course, he is working with the old weather board, and Dave Roberts worked with the old weather board for a portion of his career too. And there's one there's one spot on the on the special tonight. We used to kid and play some pranks on Dave, particularly with the temperature numbers on the board, because they were magnetic. And so when he wasn't looking, every once in a while we would either take them and hide them, or I remember on his 54th birthday, all of a sudden every temperature in the United States was 54. And he would get to the national map and take a look at this, and then of course break down. But there is a spot tonight where he gets to the board and realizes that he had forgotten to put up any national temperature numbers, and his reaction is priceless. The weather cloud, of course, was the primary feature of the old magnetic weather board, and there was a point in time when our news director at the time, whose name was Carla Carpenter, said to herself, it is time to retire the cloud. And I thought that was a terrible mistake. I thought it was a signature of Action News, and I was very concerned about it. So she said, well, someday I'm going to do that, and it's going to be soon. A week and a half passed before I realized that our newscast or the weathercast didn't have the cloud. She called me into the office one day and said, you do realize that we haven't had this cloud for a week and a half. I hadn't. She said, I guess we can do without the cloud, right?
Well, you just get married to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
But you're right. I mean, the meteorology and the technology has gotten to a point where and Cecily is just spectacular with this, as is Adam Joseph and all the other folks who are doing our weather, Melissa and David Murphy and Chris Sowers, and they are meteorologists, they are scientists, and they know how to explain all of this to a general audience in ways that I sit there, you know, in wonderment. How do they make this stuff so understandable, so compelling, and oftentimes entertaining?
Yeah.
You know, Cecily with her vortexes and southern trows and all of this stuff, and it's terrific. And we have come centuries from what we were doing 25 years ago with weather as to what we're doing now, and the audience really appreciates it. I think it's true, and I think a lot of people are aware that so many of our viewers tune in primarily for the weather. They want to know what it's going to be like tomorrow. It's important to know what it's going to be like tomorrow. How do we dress the kids in the morning as they're going to school? What about all of my plans? And, you know, weather has just increased in dominance and prominence, I should say, in our newscast, and for good reason. And we have kept pace with that.
Jim, I want to ask you a story where there was a car that was on fire outside of your studios. And what was it, the team from across the street at NBC 10 that came out and they were cheering when that happened? Is that accurate?
That is absolutely accurate. Oh, and lo and behold, that's on the special tonight.
How is it?
One of our news cruisers had some kind of a problem under the hood, and it caught fire right on City Avenue. And one of our photographers, I don't remember who it was able to drive a car off of City Avenue right up onto the grass. And yes, it was right on the grass in front of Channel 10. Once the Channel 10 folks in their newsroom realized what was going on, they come out on the steps, and I don't know, 15, 20 of them, they're clapping and cheering deliriously that a Channel 6 car is, you know, being consumed by flames right in front of their door. This happened while we were on the air. So,
wow.
Another television station might say, hey, we can't show this. This is going to be embarrassing. Not us. No, you know what it was? It was from our weather camera when we used to do the weather outside, Dave Roberts' camera. We aim it right across the street, and gave a play-by-play.
You have to. It's news.
So, yeah. So not only is...
10 people, you know, cheering and clapping hysterically, I made a joke. And it was perhaps a little unseemly. I said that the Channel 10 people were so happy that this car was burning because this vehicle had personally beaten Channel 10 on 100 stories.
So,
they were delighted to see it retired. But, you know, that was just... They're just having a little fun.
Not only was Ron Burgundy inspired by you, but that whole fight scene in Anchorman between all the networks probably came from that story. Wow.
Can we retire an ill-founded myth here for once?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Yes.
Yep.
Ron Burgundy was not patterned after me.
There you go.
Who was it patterned after?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure you remember, and he was such a good professional, spectacular anchor guy, Mort Krim, who was on Channel 3 for years, and he left Philadelphia to go to Detroit. And from what I understand, Ron Burgundy was patterned after Mort Krim, who was just an estimable talented anchorman.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But not me.
Fair enough.
Let's put that to rest.
All right.
Officially, you've heard it here.
All right. Well, Jim, we're fascinated. Obviously, it's, you know, it's such a long history and such an important synergy with the city itself and residents here.
And it's just fun.
It's great.
It's just, it just seems like it's, we're very excited to watch the special tonight.
Yeah, so it's on at 8 o'clock.
It's on at 8 o'clock. And by the way, I mean, it's an hour-long special, and it's not all just fun and games, clearly. There's a lot of serious reflection. We talk about the big stories over, you know, a period of 50 years, both local and national and international, and a lot of the people and our alumni who have come through Channel 6 get an opportunity to say hello. And I just think, I haven't seen it all, but I've seen much of it. It's a superbly done show produced by Wendy Dockenbaugh, who is just a talented, spectacular producer. A lot of the segments are written by one of our executive producers, Rick Williams and Wendy, and the editing is just superb. It's a great show, and I'm looking forward to being able to see it for the first time in its totality.
Very nice.
I think our viewers will really enjoy it.
And I think also when you look at this and you look at the history and you look at a lot of times when there were other bleak moments in the city and you realize the old adage, one my mother was very fond of, this too shall pass. So in this time, it would help also to be reminded of that and, you know, how things move along. So, but the special looks incredibly compelling. We're looking forward to it, Jim.
Thank you so much, guys. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. Jim Gardner, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so... yeah, I got to watch that tonight. It's going to be on at 8 o'clock. And Jim's so great, man. He's just the nicest guy. And he knows more about the stuff that's happened around here than we've forgotten.
I mean, those classic.
Or he's forgotten more.
Yeah,
I forgot what I needed to say.
Want more Preston and Steve? Get the whole show podcast or Bizarre Files at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.